This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Laura Dierda. Laura's the editor-in-chief at Becker's Healthcare and joins us regularly to share with us thoughts on what key stories she's watching in healthcare currently. Laura, let me ask you to take it away. What are some of the key stories you're watching currently?
Hi, Scott. Well, thank you so much for letting me jump in here. One of the, big key things that we're looking at right now is just a trend on the hospital finance side to look at how hospitals are really managing their labor costs. And so, you know, while over around 40% of hospitals lost money last year, Kauffman Hall reported that there are some high-performing hospitals that have pulled away from the pack. And those hospitals are focused on outpatient revenue, reducing contract labor, and then lowering some of the average length of stay. I wanted to zero in just a little bit on the data that they found hospitals that are hiring and retaining more full-time employees versus relying on the contract labor reported higher profitability. And even as wages rise, hospitals with a stronger full-time team are seeing better financial results than those that continue to rely on the contract labor. And we've really reported on some recent moves by hospitals and health systems to increase pay that back that up. We saw Ohio Health Van Wert Hospital last week bump the starting pay by 14% to $16 an hour for its employees as part of its commitment to invest more than $1 million in compensation and benefits over the next few years. And we also saw Allegheny Health Network in Pittsburgh increase minimum wage from $14 to $16 per hour for its workers in the last week or so, which bumped wages up for about 1,700 employees. And then finally, we saw Ballad Health in Tennessee reported plans to boost nurse pay around 25% for its registered nurses who will make between $30 to $32 per hour with that pay increase. And because of that pay increase and additional bumps from employees that are making more than minimum wage as well, the health system plans to give pay increases to around 5,600 of its team members this year. So it's really interesting to see how health systems are tackling, you know, their workforce and their salary, wages, and benefits spend in increasing those, and even in increasing those and decreasing the labor costs, they're still seeing a positive financial impact on that particular area of the health system budget. So it's really interesting.
Thank you. We were talking earlier a little bit about the breakdown between some of the really successful systems versus systems really struggling. Do you mind spending one more moment on what you're seeing there?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the health systems that are really being more successful, again, beyond the contract labor and focusing on the retaining and recruiting additional full-time employees, we also saw the health systems that are transitioning more revenue to outpatient services are seeing better results, as well as those that are lowering the average length of stay. And so obviously for those that are making improvements on length of stay, they're able to improve patient throughput and have additional patient volumes, you know, which makes a difference. And then too, for the outpatient transitions, it can really make a big difference in capturing some more of those cases that, you know, really can be easily added into the system, easy revenue streams, and certainly areas where, whether it's outpatient services, patient visits, or even telehealth and virtual care, it can just add additional income coming into the system. And so, you know, we're seeing that transition to outpatient really strongly take hold for many organizations. I know a lot are looking at the strategies of what makes the most sense, whether they can build out additional ambulatory service lines, whether they want to partner with physicians in their communities or other corporate organizations so that they can assist and partner in building out some of those services and help run them so the hospital can focus on more of their inpatient care and the acute care that they're most equipped to do. And so I think a lot of those strategies really make a big difference. And then the last one I haven't really mentioned yet, but we have seen a correlation to better financial performance is those that have embraced artificial intelligence and technology and tech-enabled platforms to deliver care. You know, really, it seems like those that have the ability to incorporate AI and automate more have been more successful, become more efficient, and really have the data to help them identify areas where they need to make improvements, make those improvements, and then see the impact on the bottom line.
Thank you very, very much. And you continue to see this differentiation between the have systems and the have not systems. Is it a matter of size, or what's the matter of that's going to drive some systems to be very successful and others to be really challenged? Is it the rural urban versus large size? Is it better management? Any thoughts you have there?
Yeah, absolutely. So great you mentioned that, because certainly, you know, we have seen those, as I mentioned, those that do financially better have some of those same, you know, kind of qualities, but those who are struggling a little bit more tend to be those who have had poor financial performance, perhaps before the pandemic continues to worse. Those that have negative operating margins from around -4% to -19% currently, their financial performance is unsustainable. And so they haven't been able to reinvest in their community and invest in their own functions so that they can improve and continue to provide the same level of care. So they've had to cut services or really focus in on areas, you know, where they can generate revenue and those kinds of things. And so, you know, I think that has been one area. Obviously, mismanagement is a huge challenge for a lot of hospitals and health systems. Those that haven't had strong management in the past, or, you know, potentially had financial challenges going into the pandemic, certainly make a big difference. But when you talk about the rural-urban divide, that's actually another one of the myths that Kaufman Hall debunked with their most recent data report. They found, you know, that there was not a statistically significant difference in the financial performance of rural and urban hospitals as an aggregate. So there are high-performing hospitals and low-performing hospitals in both rural and urban settings, and there wasn't a meaningful difference there. However, they did note that the worst-performing rural hospitals were doing significantly worse than the worst-performing urban hospitals. And so, you know, that's why we see a lot more of the closures, bankruptcies, et cetera, within the rural sector, because, you know, around 20% of those hospitals are generating much lower margins than the urban hospitals are. And we see those effects with the bankruptcies and closures. But on the flip side, we've also seen a good number of success stories for some of those rural hospitals where they've been able to either change management, change leadership, you know, partner with some large academic health systems in the area or other organizations in the community to really turn that around and see a boon from their financial performance, whether it's bringing in technology, you know, partnering to be able to bring in an EHR and leverage some of that data and attract and retain staff and employees and really create a culture that's accepting and excited to move forward. One example that I have is Northern Inyo Healthcare District in Bishop, California, was able to quickly turn around a lot of its financial performances over the last year after a new CEO came in, Stephen Del Rossi, and he implemented a turnaround group, including 25 members and subcommittees focused on labor, revenue, services and operations, materials, as well as special items, including the government funding and regulations. And after implementing that group and really seeing how it can impact operations, the hospital revenue spiked 14%, patient volume jumped 10%, and operational expenses dropped by 8%. So really looking at, you know, kind of a leadership change there made a huge difference, and the hospital is on its way to really a great financial position where it had been very much financially struggling before. So I think there's a lot of opportunities out there, having the right situation and the right leaders in place. But, you know, certainly it's easier said than done, I think.
Thank you very, very much. Laura, it's always great to visit with you again. Laura Dierda, great editor-in-chief at Becker's Healthcare, one of the best in the business. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Scott.